welcome to, what is it, September 26th City Council meeting. And as always, we will start with the pledge. Mr. Funkhauser, why don't you lead us today?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we have roll call.
Koch is absent. Transier?
Here.
Clocher?
Here.
Soling?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Cornelius?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very, very nice. Thank you. The only amendment, it's not really an amendment, the only amendment to the agenda I have is I just don't want to give everyone a heart attack here. Under PZC, the first item, we are not taking action on the UDO. We're actually having a presentation. Christy's going to give a presentation. I think some of you have seen it, but not all of us, under the second marriage report. So we're doing nothing under that as far as action. And as I told, I think, if not all of you, most of you, and I would tell you all, we will have discussions on that topic for several meetings. And we will all know ahead of time when it's going to be on the agenda for a vote. It won't be one of these where we just pop it on there for a vote. So, I don't think we have any presentations. Is that correct?
Correct.
No public hearings. Do you have any citizen comments on anything on the agenda? Nobody? Okay. We have the consent agenda with bills totaling $1,423,302.13 and the treasurer's report for June, reports, plural, for June through August of this year. Is there a motion and a second? Oh, and the minutes from September 12th. Gosh, Chris was going to correct me. I could see it in his eyes.
Second.
That's Merrick. Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yeah.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Okay, next. Under Mayor's report, we have a couple things. One that's not listed there is we have, and I think, Tim, I don't know if you're going to cover this or not, but your Oktoberfest is this weekend, correct?
Yes, sir. It's Friday and Saturday down at the Riverfront Park.
Excellent. And Chris, you're part of the Kiwanis group. You want to add to that?
Come on out. Hopefully the weather holds. It's going to be a great weekend.
It's looking like it's going to be good.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be good weather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. And I know the veterans in that, they had a little bit of rain, but they had a good turnout too, didn't they?
I believe so, yes. I checked in with them. They said they had a really good turnout.
So I got to tell you something funny about that. So I went there Friday and then Saturday morning I was there for a little bit. I think one of our cops over there was a judge. Pretty good food. Yeah, so I was there Saturday morning, and early afternoon. So now it's Saturday, I had to lose track. And we were leaving town Saturday afternoon, went down to Orlando for a work thing. So I met some of the different guys leading the groups. There was a guy leading the Coast Guard, and he says, "You look familiar. Were you at the Ace Hardware Show last spring in Santa Ana?" I'm like, "I was." He says, "I recognize you." So we chit-chatted, and he was heading up Coast Guard group. And then I met some other guys there. Fast forward a few days, I'm at the Ace Hardware Show, and who's cooking outside? One of the guys from the fest this week. He went from there, he flew home to Arizona, and he flew there, and he was cooking again. It was fantastic, so it was good. Fantastic food, that was a good time. So we got a lot of stuff going on. The other thing I wanted to bring up is Mr. Funkhauser reminded me that we have not set a date for our planning session. Is that what you call it, planning session?
Goal setting,
whatever. We haven't done one of these in, I think, 4 years. I think the first year I was mayor, I did one, and then COVID hit, and we haven't done one. But I know Chris has brought up a couple times, and Bart and I talked about it, and then Chris reminded me, and he had others remind me as well, that we haven't set a date. So I had a couple dates I was looking at in October. I'm going to tell you right up front, I have no desire to do it on a Saturday, and I don't think staff does either. And Tuesdays are all booked up. I don't think anyone wants to do it on a Friday. Does anyone here want to do it on a Friday?
Not really.
Okay. So I was looking at a couple dates. And if four of you tell me you don't want to do it, we don't have to do it. But I think in the past, staff's liked it. Well, I don't know, I should say it. The aldermen have liked it. I don't know if staff's liked it. It's been helpful. The one we did, I thought was helpful. And we did accomplish a lot of items that we set out to accomplish there. So maybe doing one every 4 years is a more practical way to do it, because you actually get stuff done. But I had a couple days I was looking at was Monday, October 16th, and Wednesday, October 18th. Now, if that doesn't work for all of you, then we'll just have to have Bart shoot out emails with some other dates. But unless any of you want to do a Friday or Saturday. Does anyone here want to do a Friday or Saturday?
Okay,
well, that's one. That's one, so okay, we're not doing Friday or Saturday. How about either of those dates, and if not, we can shoot for some other dates. But Tuesdays are booked the whole month of October, already between these meetings or committee meetings, or Halloween. I don't think anyone wants to do anything on Halloween other than have fun. Siever, are you going trick-or-treating on Halloween? Are you going trick-or-treating on Halloween? So,
from my front porch.
Perfect. And if you're not ready to make a decision, Bart can shoot out those dates. You can look at your calendars. If you want to do that, we can do that. So just tell me what you want.
Yeah, that's fine. So I'll shoot them out.
Okay, shoot out those dates. And if that doesn't work, we'll try to come up with something else. I think what Bart's told me in the past, and I know the one we did here, and he's done many more, and Chris, you've done many more. I guess Ken's not here either. He's done many more. Siever probably has too. We're going to find one where probably not everyone can make, no matter what we do. So we're going to find one where it's probably the least number of people are gone is really what's going to end up happening. So, okay, perfect. So Bart, you and I will talk about that, and you'll shoot on email.
Yep.
Perfect. Chris, thanks for the reminder. The others, too, I appreciate that. Next, we have the tax levy estimate for 2023. This is preliminary. We're not looking to make a vote tonight. But Rob, you want to talk about this? It's about a 3.5% increase, and I think the committee recommended new construction only. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that's shown on Schedule C. You can see the total levy with new construction only for the city totals about $3.866 million, 3.5% increase, which is a increment of about $130,000 over what was extended last year. As always, we include several other exhibits. Exhibit A shows the estimated public hearing amount where we increased new construction by 10%. So instead of $26 million, it's $28.8 million. Just to set a ceiling with the tax levy estimate again. Tax levy estimate sets the maximum that we can levy, but we can always levy lower. So we're just trying to capture every dollar we can under the new construction cap, because those numbers probably will change between now and November. So that amount that you see on Schedule A totals $3.88 million, about a 3.8% increase, and an increment of about $143,000. And then just to round it out, looking at Exhibit B, just for information purposes, shows if the city were to levy both new construction and inflation, it would be about a $4.5 billion total levy, an increase of about 8.5% for a total increment of about $316. Just touching on the library real quick, looking at Exhibit A for the public hearing, typically the library asks that they levy at their max, which is 0.15, 15 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, and that would be a $1.192 million levy. However, because we have historically levied them separately from the city, which we're also recommending we do this year, the actual amount, because the county will call them back, is estimated to be around $908,000. So that's a 8.5% increase for the library as we look at the 2023 levy. Again, these are just preliminary numbers. The big number that we're waiting on is the police pension contribution amount. I just got that number yesterday. So it's going to be a little less than 1.4. It's actually going to be around 1.385 million. But certainly I'll update the schedules and the memo and present that for your review at the October 11th meeting. So looking ahead, we can either approve the tax levy estimate on the 10th or the 24th of October. We have the public hearing with the tax levy scheduled on November 14th. And that would give council two meetings, November 28th and December 12th, to approve the tax levy for 2023.
Questions for Rob. So Rob, high level again, what is the percent increase?
About 3.5%, just new construction only.
Okay. And I think that's important to know because I'm sure most, if not all, you are aware that the new assessments came out this week. And I don't know, was it, Rob, would you know what happened here? Christy, maybe, was that a quad year where they had to do all the properties in the county? Is anyone aware of that?
It was not.
Oh, okay. So some of you may not have gotten them then. Okay.
No, I spoke with the assessor today.
Oh, okay. Because the quad year, I think it's every 4 years. Yeah, they call it the quad. They have to do every property in the county. Well, that wasn't this year. But there were some big increases, and I know people are, you know, excited about it, not necessarily in a good way, which I understand. But that doesn't mean, if, for example, you got a 10% increase, it doesn't mean your property tax is going to go up 10%. And I know that we can only control our portion. And as Rob pointed out, we're looking to do construction only. So what that means is the pot of money that the city levied last year, that same pot of money is being levied again this year, plus any new construction from last year. So theoretically, the dollars you paid on your home or business or whatever, the city portion would stay the same. Now, it could go up a little, could go down a little, because that's relative to other properties. So if your property went up 10%, another one up 15%, maybe it goes down a little, or vice versa. But we are not asking for any more property taxes than we have in the past, other than the new construction. Therefore, our tax levy rate will actually go down. So, questions, comments? Excellent, thank you. Good information. Okay, next we have the WIFIA Loan Application Engineering Agreement. I'm looking for a motion in a second, and then Barb, are you gonna explain this?
Yes.
Seaver?
Hello.
Rusty?
Second.
Excellent. Got the loud ones to make the motions this time. So, okay, Bart, go ahead.
Yeah, I apologize for not having a cover memo on this one. I was away at IML conference with a few of you, so didn't get a chance to type one. But this is for the next phase of our WIFIA loan application. So our letter of interest has been accepted by EPA, which is the presentation that I had given a couple meetings ago. And so now this is the engineering agreement with EEI and their subcontractor, Stantec, to basically help us through the actual WIFIA loan application, which hopefully will result in a loan closing and an approval for a loan in excess of $100 million. So the cost to provide this service from today through loan closing is $84,066, and that money is in the budget for this year. So we recommend approval.
And Brad, you said that should take about 60 days, roughly?
To complete the application and submit it, yes, correct.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the Public Works Committee report. Ken's not here. Who's next? Mr. Solon, thank you. I'm glad you stuck your hand up there because
I have my cheat sheet.
Oh.
It is.
He was right. She had it verified. Thank you. Craig, take it away.
First on the agenda, PW 2023-73, Road to Better Roads, 2023 update.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Transier, and this is, what did we say, it's approximately 1.5 million?
Yeah, the option one that's in the city council packet shows the roads that we propose to do within our existing budget allocated amount. And so option two and then the supplemental map of the water main are just illustrations at this point of what we could do with a lot more funding. And then what we are planning on doing is part of the Lake Michigan project, so you understand the totality of our paving projects over the next few years. So the motion is drafted such that you're authorizing us to proceed with design for option one. So there would be an engineering agreement brought to you at the next meeting from EEI. And then as we finalize our audit numbers and decide whether we have more or less money after our audit presentation and then goal setting session, we can then add in some roads or accelerate the schedule in the next few years. So, but right now we're just asking for approval to proceed with option one.
Questions, comments? Anyone? So the water main replacements are the ones with the hash dash lines?
Yes.
You're right, we do have quite a few of those. Holy cow. Nice. Okay, I guess that's the only other question. Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yeah.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And just follow up on that real quick before we go ahead, Craig. As Bart may mention, when the budget gets further along, we're hoping, as we have the last couple of years, bring forward more recommendations for improvements, because we know, as we talked about, we've got a lot of projects coming due in the next 3-4 years, 5 years at the most, and we're trying to get some of those compacted if we can, so they're not all hitting at the same time. So that's our hope. We'll see how the budget comes together. Okay, Craig.
I'm going to make a motion for PW 2023-74, East Van Emmon STP Design Engineering Agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Merrick? Okay, who wants to discuss this?
You want an explanation?
Yeah, look at the nice little one.
Yep. So this is preliminary and design engineering for a anticipated surface transportation program grant from the Kane Kettle Council of Mayors. We are on basically a B list, and making our way up that B list as other projects get completed. So we anticipate that we would be on the A list, ready to go in the next few years. In order to accept that grant, though, we have to have our design engineering done. So this would basically do all the design now in anticipation of future grants. On the off chance that grant is delayed for any reason, these engineering plans will be good for several years and could be updated with minimal effort after that. The cost is $51,952, and it is in the budget.
Questions, comments? And what is the grant, what percent do we usually kick in for this grant? Is it 80-20?
I believe it's a 75-25.
75-25, okay. So whenever we can get those, that's good. We got, I don't know if it's the same grant, but we got a similar grant for Bristol Ridge, didn't we?
Correct, the exact same grant.
Oh, it was the exact same, okay. Yeah, that's fantastic when we get those. So it's leveraging our money, isn't that the term you use, leveraging your money? Excellent. Okay, we need a roll call, please.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yeah.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Soling.
Motion to accept PW 2023-75, water audits and non-revenue reduction design engineering agreement.
Mr. Plocher, did I hear you second that?
I did.
Okay, thank you. Want to make sure you're still awake over there. So who wants, Brad, you want to talk about this one? I'll get you to talk about this one.
Sure can. So as part of the Lake Michigan allocation and the receipt of the water, this is a requirement that IDNR has. You have to do an annual audit to make sure you're complying with their 10% rule, which is basically a 10% or less water loss per year. So the other clause that they're putting into connection would be that we have to have this below 10% before we actually do connect to Lake Michigan. So it's important that we proceed, important that we do the water main replacement that we talked about before, and this is the calculation that will prove that over time. So this is something that the city has to do on an annual basis.
Questions or comments? Just phone calls.
If we do this year after year, is it going to be a lesser amount after the initial, or will it be generally the same fee?
Yeah, you essentially have to do the same calculation. It's, you basically calculate the entire year's worth of water billings and annual review of that, what have you. So right now, I'm guessing it's going to be the same, but we'll go more over time.
Other questions? Roll call, please.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Soling.
PW 2023-76, 2023 sanitary sewer lining contract award.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Funkhauser? Okay. Eric, do you want to talk about this one?
Sure.
Get you involved too.
Sure. This is our annual sanitary sewer lining contract. We've been doing this for quite a few years now. We did take a couple years off during COVID, but we're back at it, and we're actually going to be tackling the north side of the river now and lining out sanitary sewer pipes. This is actually, the contract was with a local contractor, Innovative Underground of Yorkville, for $264,000, and then under the estimated cost, which I believe was $440,000. So this is a substantial savings.
Thanks. Questions, comments?
Just one clarification. The bid amount is actually $264,460.
Yes,
so we're authorizing it properly.
Other questions or comments? Roll call.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Page two. Who said that? Paul Harvey, right? Any older people recognize that or remember that? You know, probably do. No. Now you know the rest of the story. Okay, Mr. Soling.
EW 2023-77 Riverwalk Route 47 crossing, preliminary engineering agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Merrick, Bart, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, this is a basically a preliminary engineering agreement, so a feasibility type study to figure out a different way for pedestrians to cross over Route 47 near East and West Hydraulic. So we've got two different options there. We can either go under the bridge in the river for a river walk type concept or a pedestrian bridge over Route 47. These concepts have been thrown out by residents, staff members, elected officials several times over the past few decades. We have never done any serious, brainstorming, engineering work, design work on any of them. So we have no idea how much they would cost, whether there are issues with the bridge construction and affixing a river walk to it, or, you know, what the clearance is from the ground basically to the bottom of a pedestrian bridge if we wanted to go over Route 47. And so hopefully the engineering agreement here will give us some clarity on that. So it is for $29,700. We do not have this in the budget explicitly, but we do have funds available because other projects have been deferred. So we do not need to do a budget amendment for it. At the end of it, we'll have a couple different options and illustrations and diagrams and some cost estimates that then we can then decide later if we ever want to move forward with any of them. We do recommend approval.
Questions, comments? No? Okay, roll call, please.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Soling.
Item PW 2023-78, a motion to approve the price increase of $3,870 proposed by Linco Equipment to order a 2024 Model Ford F-550 instead of the initial approved 2023 model.
Is there a second?
Second.
Who was that? Rusty?
Rusty.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? Questions, comments? Roll call.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. I was wondering.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, what's going on?
What's the delay now?
No delay. This is strictly for, we were in line for a 2023. We didn't get ours started when they switched to the 2024 model, and with the 2024 model comes a $3,870 price increase.
Okay. With the auto worker strike?
We have no idea.
Okay. So when did we expect this truck?
We were hoping for end of the year, and that will not happen.
Your third term, Dan.
Yeah.
Your third term.
2030?
Yeah.
Okay.
Possibly. That may be when we get the first truck.
Wonderful.
Any other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yeah.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yeah.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Next. Economic Development, or EDC Committee report. Do we have anything?
No report.
Actually, EDC Committee, that's redundant because it's
still
EDC.
No report.
Okay, that's fine.
However you want to say it.
Public Safety Committee report.
No report.
Admin Committee report.
I do.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I have one motion, ADM 2023-37. about employee manual updates and uniforms. A motion to approve the employee manual updates to the non-union staff parks and recreation protective clothing and safety gear general policy.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is that Solon? Okay. Bart, and this is just shipping, so they don't have turn receipts?
Yeah, we buy them the equipment now, and then we have to process all the paperwork, and it's still taxable to the employee. And this will just turn a check over to the employee, make them buy the equipment, so there's less paperwork for the city, and then they get, the employees get a little bit more freedom over what they choose.
And we're not increasing the amount at all.
Correct.
So it's the same amount, just streamline it, make it easier for staff to process. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Fletcher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else in admin?
Over the report.
Excellent. Admin. No, I just did that. Park board. Nothing?
A couple items, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
In addition to the Kiwanis Oktoberfest this weekend, just a reminder of the school district's homecoming parade.
Oh, yeah.
We will have a float in it for the first time in Parks and Rec with our future Fox's preschool program being a partnership with the school district regarding the float this year. And then lastly, with Kiwanis starting like Oktoberfest Friday, the Scarecrow Walk will start Friday as well. It will be open to the public through the entire month of October down at Riverfront Park.
Sweet. Thank you. And the kids in my neighborhood are very pleased with improvements at the park. Thank you.
Good. We also have the new Halloween shows that you're showcasing.
Very nice. Very nice. Nice, bold orange color. Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission. We're skipping number one. Next, we have PZC 2023-10, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance identify, define, and regulate energy industrial uses. Green Door Nexus. I'm looking for a motion in a second, and then Christy, do you want to explain this when we get the motion? Excellent, thank you. I'm warming you up so you can talk a little more in a little bit. Is there a motion in a second?
So moved. Second.
Merrick and Plocher. Take it away, Christy.
Okay, if you recall, we initially discussed this at the August 8th City Council meeting. This is a text amendment to the zoning ordinance, as the mayor mentioned. We're effectively defining and identifying data centers, refrigerator warehouses, which is also cold storage, and battery storage uses in the code as a permitted use in the M1 and M2 districts. We're also providing parking, off-street parking standards for those uses, and these proposed changes are planned to be incorporated into the UDO in the draft already. We had a public hearing before PCC on September 13th, and this was recommended unanimously.
Questions, comments? It was recommended by PCC, correct?
Correct.
Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have PZC 2314, EDC 2337, Kendall County Petition 2328, a 1.5 mile review, and this is for what, a couple of lots out in Whitetail?
Correct.
Okay, I'll get a motion in a second, and then Christy can give a brief explanation.
So moved.
Second.
Transier and Tarulis. Okay. Christy, take it away, please.
So they have two parcels within the Whitetail Ridge subdivision, which is an unincorporated Kendall County, but it's within our 1.5 mile review. The two parcels were consolidated in 2022. They are proposing to eliminate the interior easement so that they can build a single home that straddles the lot. The county didn't have any issues with drainage, neither did the HOA. This item actually went to Kendall County Board on September 19th. I'm not aware of what the outcome was, but if we do have any objections, we can still forward it to the county.
Was that on the north edge of the property?
No, the easement runs between the two parcels. So there's a parcel 100, 101, and then there's a 10-foot easement drainage.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any questions, comments? We'll do a roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. City Council report? Nothing? City Clerk report?
No report.
Community and liaison reports? Mr. Funkhauser?
I don't know if it should be on this or on City Council, but attended the IML this past week with several others. Very good event. Actually got my OMA recertified while I happened to be there. So good event. Glad to be able to socialize with some of the aldermen and other communities, as well as sit into some really good sessions. So good use of some time.
Excellent. Well, hopefully I'll be able to make it next year. Were you able to socialize with any mayors or just aldermen?
No, there were mayors that actually went.
That's not. Some went, right? Some did not. Excellent. Anything else from the community and liaison report?
I'm not sure. Tim, did you mention the story walk and the success we had earlier this week?
No!
I did not. That was...
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess the Education Foundation had their story walk last Wednesday at Harpin Circle. So, great weather. We unfortunately missed the rain on that. You can talk a little bit more about it, Matt.
There was going to be four tables. Every one of the participating children had a passport, so they would visit each table, get a punch, and then get something from the library, from the Yorkville Junior Women's Club. That's their park that they sponsor. Yorkville Educational Foundation. It was great. It was a hot day. I was a little worried about the ice cream at the beginning, not because it would melt, but because no one went there. About 30 minutes later, as the sun kept bearing down, they may have had actually more visitors than the library at that point. But yeah, it was a great event. Huge turnout, better than last year, and keep on pumping. It's a beautiful park. And that sledding hill is going to be pretty popular this year, too.
It is. So all the kids and the parents notice this, too. It's really the Rocket Ship Park is what that is. Yeah. No one knows about a name. It's the Rocket Ship Park. That's a good park, though, it is. Excellent. Anything else? Okay. Staff report?
No reports.
Okay, so mayor's report continued. Let's go to items 4 and 5 first, because I don't know if we have anything under buildings or water.
I don't have anything since today. No.
Perfect. Now, we're going to turn over to Christy again. Christy, I know you've been waiting all night for this opportunity. All week.
I was going to say, a little longer. Pre-COVID.
Funny. Well, Christy, this is your opportunity to discuss the UDO. And again, not voting on this tonight. We will have more discussion in the future.
Can you put the mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Christy, before you say anything, Jim, you haven't had a chance to talk tonight. Anything you want to report? Okay, I didn't want to, you know, slight you or anything like that. I know I can.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Christy. I'm not blocking you at all, am I?
No.
Is that going to be on the back? Oh, sweet.
Great.
Karen, fantastic.
Does your clicker work? It's the one right there. Try that one. Great.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Christy Olbaum, the Community Development Director for the City of Yorkville. Also in attendance tonight is our consultant that worked on this project. This is Jackie Burr from House of Levine.
Hello, Jackie. I had no idea who you were. So welcome.
So as I mentioned, in March of 2019, the city began the process of unifying all of our development-related ordinances so that we can streamline processes, but also clean up the ordinances so that people who utilize our ordinances for development, even staff, won't have to search throughout various different sections of the zoning or the city code to find which ordinances apply. So that included, as I mentioned, our zoning ordinance, which was last updated in 2014, the subdivision control ordinance, and special standard specification for improvement, which is what our engineers use the most. That was adopted in 2004. Our landscape ordinance approved in 2009, and our appearance code in 2005. So most of these ordinances were dated and needed a little bit of refreshing. The Unified Development Ordinance, as you can see, is comprised of 9 chapters. We'll start with chapters 1 through 3. Oh, that's going out of order. Because it's a Prezi, I gotta.
It won't go.
No, it's gonna go out of order because it's where the mouse is.
So we only need it.
You just click on. You just click on the items.
This one.
Yep. Sorry. There you go. Chapters 1 through 3. This is the introductory to the UDO. It's a general provisions. It talks about the purpose, our mission, the authority that's given to staff and to committees that review developments. And the only major change to the general provisions is that we anticipate that the adoption of the UDO will go into effect January 1st of 2024. And that was a recommendation by not only the advisory committee, but the Planning and Zoning Commission. We had our public hearing last month. Click on chapter 2, please. Chapter 2 is basically the definitions chapter. It lays out the terms that are within the code, how they are defined, and how we use them to identify specific land uses as well as specific measurements, how we define height. So a lot goes into the definitions rather than just a list of terms. A lot of thought goes into it. We talked about what's the difference between a structure and a building. Should we make differences between professional offices versus personal care services, as well as something as mundane as an animal hospital versus veterinarians. If you look to the left of the screen, that is a sample of what our SMART code, and we'll get into that a little bit later, will look like. Whereas when you're reading through the ordinance online, if there is a term that is defined, it'll be underlined, you can hover over it and see the definition in that same document rather than switching back to another document. And then we address new concepts in the UDO, which we talked about: enclosed auto sales versus open lot auto sales. A lot of auto sales are going in-house where people are making appointments, cars are in a storage area, and they test drive them, and you have the Carvana model versus an open sales lot where people drive by and see cars that are for sale. We talked about enclosed versus outdoor public storage facilities. There's a trend now for enclosed climate control facilities that are in single buildings. We felt that those were more appropriate in a business district, a B3 district, whereas the open door out drive up to the a storage lot is more appropriate in the manufacturing district, and it will be a special use. And then finally, we just talked about data centers, which is now incorporated into the ordinance. So you would just click, and it'll go back to the main screen. Is it doing it for you?
It is not.
Okay, that works. Chapter 3. We'll talk about district standards. This identifies all the new districts that the city is proposing and kind of what their intent and purpose would be. So what we did was we combined some districts. Originally, the city had 15 districts. We combined them to 14 districts and kind of consolidated districts that were underutilized and identified our downtown and as an overlay district. So we modernized some permitted land uses, and we did some minor adjustments to our permitted yard obstructions, one particularly being porches. We only allowed an encroachment of a porch in the front yard, about a couple of feet, about 3 feet. The amended version of the UDO allows that encroachment to be about 5 feet. This is an open porch, and it gives people a little bit more options of placing their homes on a site. There's a little tab that says updated land use. So this is what the new land use table looks like. I know it's kind of hard to see, but it categorizes uses in a different way than we do now. The uses are more user-friendly. If you don't know specifically what type of use you have, it was hard to find that in our regular or current ordinance because it's alphabetically, it's kind of by district. You're really not sure where to look. I've had plenty of calls asking if these uses were there. They were there, just hard to find. Now it's categorized in a more sensical manner where you have commercial entertainment. If you know you're a bowling alley, you would kind of figure you would go there as opposed to an eating and restaurant venue. So it just makes it a little bit more common the way that we talk every day.
Back.
Yes. And it'll go back. One more. One more. Those are chapters 1 through 3. Now we dive into UDO chapters 4 through 5. This begins the beginning of the regulation section of the chapter. Chapter 4 talks about use standards. These establish the standards for agricultural, residential, gives the basis of what these uses will pertain to. We'll get to each of the categories in a moment. And then chapter 5 talks about development standards. So now we know what the use is, how can we develop those uses on the site? So if we can click on residential standards. So the new residential standards, we address a couple of things. We approve the residential development standards. We talked more about duplexes, how they're placed on site, multi-unit and townhome developments. We also introduced a concept called accessory dwelling units. That's that image in the middle. These express, talks about if you wanted to do an accessory unit on your site for housing, you can have it attached or detached. Right now, the ordinance states that all these uses would be permitted in residential, like R1 through R3 land uses. But the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission was to allow the attached as permitted and the detached as a special use. Then we have the concept as accessory commercial units, the ACUs, which is in the center, that image in the center, to the left, yes. That is kind of like a she shed, if you've ever heard of that term. So more or less, if you have a business that you run out of your home, it's complementary to our home occupation standards, but currently our home occupation standards do not allow you to do those uses in a garage or in a detached structure on your site. Those would be special uses, and that's just another way of enhancing the options for residents that do work out of their home. The last standard we talked about was off-street residential parking and storage. There's a parking pad, which is that image at the very bottom with the house, yes. The red area indicates an area where a person can park their vehicle without having to do a garage extension. Right now, we don't allow parking in the required side yard. This gives options to residents, and it also provides regulations as far as fencing or some type of visual barrier for your neighbor. And then portable outdoor storage container regulations, they do pop up in neighborhoods. We now offer some type of regulation for those as well. Commercial standards. The commercial standards now introduce new uses and changes some existing uses. So there are massage parlors now that are outright permitted. We are proposing to have those as special uses. In the UDO, I mentioned at the top right, which is an enclosed storage facility type unit. We've had no regulations for the new type of commercial driving, golf driving ranges. Yeah, thank you. Oh, but it's changing.
Nope, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
You're good.
Every time I touch the, it changes the, so I don't want to touch it.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. So you have uses such as Topgolf, commercial driving range. We had no regulations for it in regards to what type of netting or fencing or lighting standards. Now we have included those in the UDO in preparation if we ever were approached. There's also bike parking standards. We had them as well. We enhanced them a little bit. So if developments want to create off-street parking for bicycling, we've provided recommendations for that. And we've also addressed, during COVID, we noticed a lot of businesses were utilizing pickup. We can call in and designate pickup. for a use or a product. And so we provided regulations for those so that these designated spots aren't taking up spots near the entrance, maybe possibly hindering accessible spaces as well as spaces for residents, for patrons that are actually going into the facility. So we regulated those. Parking and landscaping standards were enhanced. We have now a tiered or a type regulation based off of the two adjacent uses. So the more intense the uses, this is to the far right, left rather, the more intense the uses, the between the two, the more dense of a landscaping buffer is required. We didn't have a standard in that. It was a simple standard of, for every 100 feet, you have to have three different types of a variety of buffering, and it didn't get more into the lower level vegetation and the higher level vegetation. And then those are simple parking standards that we've updated. For industrial land uses, what we did is we created a new type of use that we're beginning to see. If you recall, a bakery came in not too long ago wanting to do housing above the bakery use. Well, this is similar to that. It's called artisan manufacturing. And what this use will allow in the manufacturing district, not just in the business district, a use to be a commercial use or industrial use on that first level and housing above. We have criteria about gross floor area, number of units, a maximum of one residential unit above. But there's an example right there of a baking company with loft apartments above. We updated our alternative energy regulations, especially we're going to be seeing more of the solar farms coming through. They're more specific in the regulations. We addressed more of the decommissioning, as we talked about previously. We did a robust mechanical screening requirements, which we did not have before, and we modernized our outdoor lighting standards. One more. So that covered 4 and 5. Chapters 6 and 7 go a little bit of a deeper dive into development. Now we're talking about sign standards and subdivision standards. So if we click on sign standards, you'll see that we expanded the material list for monument signs. Under our current regulations, these are the type of signs that we typically get. What we're looking for under our proposed regulations are a variety of sign types, sign materials, lighting, and now we're requiring landscaping at bottoms of signs. So the landscaping requirement is half of what the sign area is. So if the sign area is 20 square feet, we're looking for 10 square feet of just for the monument signs landscape. We did a complete rewrite due to Reed versus Gilbert. That was a 2015 Supreme Court case, which said that the city cannot regulate based on the content of the sign. So where we had signs defined as garage sale sign, real estate sign, we can't do anymore. We can only regulate by type. So we created different types of signs. In the current version of the UDO, there is regulations for post and yard signs, which would be on private residential property. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended to eliminate that regulation in its entirety. But we also have new standards. We are allowing A-frame sandwich board signs in the downtown, where businesses that don't have the visibility along 47 can now put signs out during their operating hours to advertise that they're there. Banner signs are not regulated based on their proportion to the wall rather than just a set sign area, and we increased the electronic message board signage and updates and graphics, as you can see. And our subdivision standards, which affects new platted subdivisions, we try to look at some things that are happening in the community. A lot of people are going for solar. So we have in lot orientation, not that it's required, but we recommended that house orientations or lot orientations be east to west to benefit from solar. We address block length. We do require a maximum block length of about 1,300 linear feet, but we do encourage smaller block lengths. Street design elements were also included for different types of streets. If you're a collector street or residential street, we indicated those types of elements that would be required or that would be recommended by the city engineer. Cluster development is a new concept that we've added to the UDO. It's used as part of a PUD process, so it will be a special use, which says that if you have some higher level or higher quality environmental features on the site or that you're proposing for the site, that you can cluster the homes in an area on the site where the density and the net density is greater, but the gross density isn't. So there's two examples. To the left, you have, I think that's a 32-acre site. It has 8 units per acre, I believe. And then to the right is the same size site, but you have the same number of units, but they're clustered, so the density is 4 versus 8, or I think I had the reverse, 8 versus 4. And then we have anti-monopoly regulations. In the ordinance, I do want to point out that the graphic was incorrect to the text, so we will be revising that. But the recommendation is to have two homes in between two similar design homes so that we can eliminate homes that have identical features as far as the material, the color, being next to each other on a development. And we're trying to encourage more of street frontage with attached housing, so you can have the garage in the back so it's not taking up much space in the front and having to have the lot push back, the home push back on the lot. It's a lot of material, we're almost through it. Chapters 8 and 9 of the UDO are not changed as much. The UDO chapter 8 talks about the approval process. We've codified some processes that staff typically go through, but just weren't in the code. We've created flow charts for individuals to understand how many meetings, the scheduling of the meetings, to make it a little bit more simpler. And we've actually added a new item, which is a recommendation by staff if a project that's a variance, a special use, or a rezoning, for the developer to meet with the neighboring property owners in the area to discuss it prior to a public hearing so that they have an opportunity to see the details of a project before receiving a public hearing notice and certified mail and not knowing more about it than the legal description. And Chapter 9 completely stayed the same. It's about non-conforming buildings and structures and uses. We felt that it was sufficient enough as its coverage, and there were no changes proposed to that. Finally, the piece of the UDO that the staff is really proud of is the web portal. This is called our smart code. It's more or less an interactive website that lists the different ordinances, gives information on calculations. You can input data and get information back, parking, landscaping, things that staff would end up calculating or that you would have to figure out on your own is provided on the website. And there's a quick little video there about how the smart code from ENCODE Plus integrates with our current website provider, Civic Plus, as well as MuniCode, which is where we have our code now listed. And it just shows you that it's portable, it's easy to access, staff can use it, and a lot of people do get a benefit out of it. We can update codes. You can get text notices if there was a change in the ordinance, things that you probably wouldn't check on, but if there was a certain section of the ordinance that you were concerned about, you can be updated if there were any changes made. And that is the UDO.
It was that simple to put together, right?
Pardon me?
It was that simple to put together.
Yeah, it was that simple. And I didn't even talk, so I didn't have to do it.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you very much. So as I said, we will be breaking this up into smaller subsections for a couple of the areas. But if there's any high-level questions anyone has now, again, we're not looking for a vote. We will be talking. We're not looking for a vote tonight. We will be talking in detail, but is there any high-level questions or comments for tonight? Okay. Christy, thank you very much. It was nice. And Jackie, thank you. You got through without saying anything. Yeah, so it was good. Thank you very much. Okay. I don't think I have anything else under the second mayor's report. That was plenty. Additional business? Anyone? Citizen comments? Any citizen comments?
I have a comment I was hoping to address.
Somebody from Zoom.
I'm on the Zoom meeting.
Oh, you're on Zoom. Sorry. Thank you. Please state your name and we'll let you talk.
All right. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Drake Cody. I'm a senior at Bennett Academy, and I want to start off by thanking you all for the opportunity to speak this evening. I'm here tonight to help raise awareness about an issue that is important to me, that being equal pay for workers with disabilities. What if I told you that it's perfectly legal for a business to pay workers with disabilities sub-minimum wage? I'd like to introduce to you a law that was a part of the New Deal from 84 years ago and still exists today in the majority of our country. Known as 14C, this law allows for companies to pay workers with disabilities sub-minimum wage, in some cases as little as $2 an hour, and it's completely illegal. 14C was originally designed to support people with disabilities in the workforce, but it has since become a mechanism to suppress their growth while providing cheap labor for businesses. Additionally, 14C is fraught with abuse. In fact, the Department of Labor handed out the largest fine to an establishment with a 14C certificate to a group right here in Illinois. In October of 2022, the Department of Labor reported that Illinois ranks second in the nation in the number of 14C certificates issued or currently pending. At our state level in 2021, Governor Pritzker signed a bill that eliminated all state contractors from using 14C, and a few representatives here in Illinois are drafting legislation to eliminate 14C altogether. My goal here tonight is to raise awareness of this issue at the local level and encourage this body to research it more and determine if it's appropriate for businesses in this town to be afforded this opportunity. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to address them. If not, I'd like to thank you again for your time.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much. And I didn't realize you're out there, so thank you for speaking up. Any other citizen comments? Is there a need for executive session?
No, there is not.
Might be next time. Might not be next time.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Yes.
Welcher, second by Cornelius. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Good morning.